The Press Pass on WKXL is presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Check out either of their two locations, one at the Concord Hospital campus, the other 125 North Main Street. The Prescription Center will also deliver your prescriptions to you free of charge. That's the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first.
This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they so Manny, they so David, so they start taking people for granted.
Opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team out, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
Patriots find themselves in L.A. for a big game against the Chargers. We hear from Bill Belichick and Mac Jones in just a moment. Red Sox season comes to a close in Houston. What's next for Boston? We'll talk about that as well. And the Celtics and Bruins begin their campaigns. Neither looking great to start things off. I am Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. We'll start with the New England Patriots coming off a 54-13 victory over the Jets. And we'll find out this week if the Patriots have truly found themselves. The Jets just make everything right. The Patriots putting up 54 points. Mac Jones looked really good. Best game in a Patriots uniform for him. But now a big test as the team heads out to Los Angeles taking on the Chargers. Chargers at 4-2 on the season. Their offense is really good. Justin Herbert gets a lot of press, as does Keenan Allen. But we're going to talk about the defensive side of the football with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Joey Bosa is as good as I have seen at getting to the quarterback. He wreaks havoc, and a game last year against the Buffalo Bills stands out where he pretty much single-handedly gave the Buffalo Bills headaches, and there's not too many defensive players in the course of NFL history that can do that. I think back to when I was growing up, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White were the guys that jump out to me. I talked with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick about the impact of Chargers defensive lineman Joey Bosa. Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good, Chris. How's it going?
Good, thanks. I want to ask you about Joey Bosa and his impact on the Chargers defense. And how much does, you know, a player like him wreak havoc on preparations? And is his impact, you know, even before stepping on the field, significant?
Yeah, definitely. You have to know where he is on every play. I think if you go back to the Buffalo game last year, he almost single-handedly change the game. I mean, he almost changed the outcome of the game almost by himself. So, yeah, he's an impact player. You know, it's not just the negative plays, but the turnovers, the strip sacks, the batted balls, the plays like that he makes, the tackles from behind where he strips the ball out and things like that. So, and then, you know, you commit attention to him and that creates other problems in other spots. So he's a tough matchup, and you know, Coach Staley does a good job with him. They move around a little bit and they, you know, they bring five a lot, so it's hard to double them when, you know, you have five blocking four, you might have a chance to get some help to them. But when it's five blocking five, then, you know, it really makes it difficult. So, you know, there are definitely some challenges that he presents, and then within the scheme that compounds it. So, yeah, but he's definitely a major problem.
Yeah, and off of that, how do you make the decision of not letting him, but, you know, going one-on-one with him, perhaps having, you know, someone else available to pick him up along the way versus double-teaming him? And, you know, you think about LT as well in that realm. How many guys are able to impact the game the way that Bosa is able to impact a game?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, again, some of that's, you know, I think some of that's based on the matchup. So that's, you know, that's another consideration too. But regardless, whoever Bosa plays against is going to be challenging for that individual. And again, it's not always the same guy, and he's not always in the same spot. So you have to, you know, work through some things there. But you know, he's mainly on the right, and he's mainly going to be against the right tackle. And he honestly has enough in his repertoire to give anybody problems with speed to power, inside move, and you know, just general, you know, aggressive pass rush techniques. That he has a good arsenal and knows how to use them.
Also wanted to ask you about Mac Jones, what you've seen from him about halfway through the season, and also in the realm of this highly regarded rookie class of quarterbacks. You know, it seems that there have been a lot of challenges for them, and was wondering, you know, what do you see as being the major inhibitors to success for rookie quarterbacks in today's NFL?
Yeah, well, it's a big jump from college to pro football. The passing game is a lot different, and certainly athletes that play in the passing game are a lot different than what you see in college, and the schemes are the multiple players that can be in coverage and how fast and how aggressive the pass rush is. It's a lot different than college. Although I'd say Mac played in more of a pro system at Alabama than a lot of other quarterbacks did, but regardless, it's still a big jump. Yeah, Mac's been steady. And I don't think there's any one play or any one, you know, one moment that's just, you know, changed the direction of his development. It's just play by play, day by day, just stacking those together and accumulating the experience that he has. And you know, offensively, it's between him and multiple other starters, let's call them new starters from last year, or guys who have played a lot. We just had a lot of new people in there at various points, whether it be on the offensive line or obviously the skill position players, you know, other than, you know, Andrews and Jacoby, you know, other players, even the guys that played last year, they've either missed time this year, they missed time last year, or, you know, whatever the case might be. So it's, you know, a process of just, you know, everything, you know, coming together at all levels, not just at the quarterback position, but, you know, transcends throughout the entire offense. And there are a lot of good players there, and you know, Hunter and KB and Nelly, and you know, we mentioned a lot of them here, but they weren't with us until this year, and there's been a, you know, a learning curve and an adjustment for them and for all of us. And but again, we're just taking it day by day and trying to improve, you know, tomorrow from where we were today and so forth, and hopefully that'll serve us well in the long run. I'm sure it will. That's the approach we've been taking, and that's. Whether it's a quarterback or combination of quarterback and all the other positions, it's, you know, that's the world we're in.
Bill Belichick right there on Mac Jones. Let's hear from Mac himself.
Hey, Mac, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What do you think have been your biggest areas of growth from training camp to now, as we're kind of at the mid-season mark? Where do you think you've grown the most?
Yeah, I think it's just an endless list of stuff just trying to work on. I'll always try and improve on things that I can get better at, and that's just a daily battle that I have. And it's partly because this is a really complex offense, but that also makes it really good. So I have to just keep learning the nuances and keep listening to Josh and taking his advice and his coaching really well, and listening to Brian and Jarrett and Garrett, just take what they've seen and try to apply it to my game. But yeah, I think there's things that pop up physically, mentally, within the offense. So it's not just, hey, you didn't bend your knees on this play. It's, hey, this is what we're doing this week, and we have to learn it quick and get ready to roll.
In terms of what you see from defenses, I mean, you look at the rookie quarterbacks in this league, and statistically you've had the best season so far, but there's so much was said about how good those guys were going to be. How difficult is it to not just learn your offense, but to adapt to what defenses are showing you on a week-in, week-out basis?
Yeah, I think that's something that's good about here is just our defense and how multiple it is. And in OTAs, at first, you're kind of like, wow, this is pretty complex. And then, you know, you get to go against them for a few months and fall camp and stuff like that, and just throughout the summer. And our defense is very multiple, so they give us a lot of different defensive looks, and it's good practice. So we always have to use that to our advantage when, you know, things change. We're playing a defense that might have some similarities, or even if it doesn't, it's just good to get those reps against a talented defense.
Also talked with Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers.
Wanted to get your take on Mac at midseason. What are the ways that you've seen him evolve from the preseason to now?
I think football is like anything. You know, the more you do it, the better you'll be at it. So I think he's been playing unlike a rookie to me. Like, he's making great throws, keeping us in a lot of games that we could have won. We just missed a little detail here or there. He's definitely been there doing his part. So we all just got to go out there and make plays for him and continue to do that and protecting him and let him get comfortable. And when our number get called, make those plays.
You've lined up a lot in the slot for the Patriots, and you look at like the traditional Patriots slot receivers. You have like Troy Brown and Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. What attributes do you think that you have with increased size and length that you know, perhaps make you, I don't want to say better in that role, but different in that role? And is there an advantage to being bigger?
I think what I learned about the slot receivers that I've had before me is not really about your size. It's about more so the toughness, you know, because it's a dangerous spot to play. You cross the middle a lot. You block guys that most guys probably wouldn't want to block, and you just got to keep your head on the swivel a lot. So, I mean, being a little bit bigger, I think it helps me a little bit. I mean, because I can take advantage of smaller guys, but it doesn't really help me if I'm not tough enough to go in there and do the hard things right.
And just on how difficult it is to make the adaptation that you've made from the quarterback in college to wide receiver, it seems like at times it kind of gets taken for granted that, oh, yeah, a guy can just do that. How difficult do you feel it is, and how difficult has it been for you?
I mean, it was a complete transition. It was that first year that I switched over, it was really a struggle for me, you know, and I wasn't really sure about how I felt about it. Like, did I want to go back to quarterback? And because my first year I was listed as both. I was a quarterback / receiver. So I was kind of teetering the line, just wasn't sure how I felt about it. I didn't really like it too much. Just having to run, be in shape, block, these are all things I wasn't really used to. So it got me, but I kind of had to see it through and just stick with it day by day. And like I said, with anything, the more you do it, the better you'll get. So just repetition and practice and going through dog days.
Devin McCourty injured, but as is the case generally with football as well as hockey, that injury shrouded in mystery and what took place in the game against the Jets. He did not see the field very often in the second half of that game. He says he can do everything he can to be out there on the field this week. I talked with Devin McCourty about the impact of this game coming up Sunday at 4:20 out in Los Angeles.
I want to ask you about this game and, you know, in the context of where you are and where you want to go, where obviously you have to beat good teams if you want to get to where you want to go. How important is this game kind of in that lens?
I mean, you know, I would say it's important. It's the next game. You know, I think we talked about it last week of not living in the past, not living off of what it could have been, what we should have did better in this game, man. If we would have just did this, we could have beat that team, and just locking in on what's in front of us. And I think we did a good job of that last week. And I think this week is important of understanding like what we need to do to play well and to win games. And then plugging and playing against the Chargers now, like locking in on what do they do well, what's their offense like, what's their defense like, what are their strengths and special teams like. That's what we have to do, I think, to play well. And I think each game now, we got to go to that. I think obviously beginning of season, you're doing things, you're trying to find out who you are. I think now we're at the point where we got to know who we are and we got to know what we need to do to play well. And the next team on our schedule is the Chargers. And, you know, obviously, like you said, they're a good football team. They've beaten some good teams in this league. They've played well. They've done, you know, at the top of the league and third down on offense, a good third down defense. Like, they're one of the better teams in the NFL so far. So we got to come ready to play. We got to do the things that we talk about all week on Sunday. And I think that's why it's important, because we need to start developing a consistent way to play. And doing that week in and week out, and that starts Sunday in LA.
And how much have you enjoyed this year as compared to last year, where obviously the record is still not where you want it to be, but has there been a level of enjoyment of having the new guys, the way they've approached the game, Mac at quarterback, obviously the COVID stuff not as prevalent as last year? How would you categorize how you're feeling about this season in terms of joy and playing the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, the new guys, you know, rookies, free, all that's been great. But I mean, to not have, I mean, you guys know, to not have to deal with COVID. To me, there's nothing bigger and more enjoyable this year than not having to be walking up to the club suites and then walking to this place because we need to be spaced out. So just to be able to have football kind of like it was in the past with fans and everything has been an incredible blessing. And I think it made us all realize how much we took for granted from the game. So to me, that's just been one of the best parts of kind of being in this season. And then obviously, like you said, trying to improve and get better with, you know, all of the changes that we've had. Now it's time to try to go out there and start winning games, because then obviously that'll make the season a lot better.
It's Devin McCourty. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. We transition to the Boston Red Sox right now. And the Red Sox saw their season come to an inauspicious close that should not take away from what the Red Sox accomplished during the course of the year. But as is the case with life, baseball, and sports, expectations tend to change, and a lot of that has to do with the success that you have. And the Red Sox, going into the eighth inning in Game 4, were up 2-1, and it looked like they were heading to the World Series. Let's be honest. They looked like they were going to be up 3-1, close things out on in Game 5 or 6, and then off to take on the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, that did not happen. Red Sox were outscored over the final three games of this series, 23-3. And they didn't hit, they didn't pitch, and things ended up ending quickly for a Red Sox team that looked like it was headed to the World Series. They have some decisions to make. The Red Sox have options on Kyle Schwarber as well as Eduardo Rodriguez. They get a 10-year contract to Rodriguez, but he can decide whether or not he is going to walk or take what will be around a $20 million year contract. Kyle Schwarber, a vested option. Both the team and him have that. Red Sox are somewhat confident they'll be able to keep him on that option, perhaps extend him to a long-term contract. In terms of upgrades for the Red Sox, there's a lot of players out there. I'm going to be interested to see how much the Red Sox are interested in spending. J.D. Martinez has a player option for around $20 million as well. He could either take that option or try to get a longer-term contract. He's 34 years of age, so we'll see what happens there. But to me, the Red Sox team is pretty much set up for next year. You could improve a little bit in the bullpen. You could look at second base and try to get creative there as well. But the Red Sox are pretty much set up to go. Going into the next year, the rotation looks stacked. I mean, you have Nick Pivetta, who has shown that he is a very good big league starter. And you also have, obviously, Chris Sale for a full season, potentially, and also Nathan Eovaldi. And Garrett Whitlock, who is a Rookie of the Year candidate, and Tanner Houck, either moving into the rotation or more significant roles in the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock was one of the best stories for the Red Sox this year. He was on the mound when the Red Sox closed things out against the New York Yankees and had significant moments for the team throughout the course of this postseason. The question is, how much did he grow as a result of this big-time experience in big-time situations? Garrett, how would you describe what the postseason has meant to you from a development standpoint, and how this experience has helped you not just now and enjoying the moment, but also in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you never know when it'll ever happen again, so you just take each day and enjoy the heck out of it and appreciate every moment of it.
Do you think that pitching in these types of situations and having, you know, these types of experiences, does that, you know, set you up for future success as well?
I don't know. We'll figure out in the future. So, you know, you just take it day by day and worry about the future then.
You've had some big moments here in the postseason, and Ottavino was talking the other day about you closing out the series against the Yankees. Obviously, you kept things together for this group to give them a chance to win in Game 4. What has stood out to you as being the most kind of significant moments for you in this postseason?
I mean, I wouldn't really say there's any, like, significant moments. I'm just enjoying going out there and competing and trying to get outs whenever AC hands me the ball, you know, whenever in the game that will be, and just getting outs until he comes and takes the ball away from me.
What has taking the mound in the postseason, you know, with all the atmosphere stuff, the noise stuff, been like? Has it been any different than what you expected? Has it been what you expected?
I didn't really know what to expect, so it's really neat just kind of soaking it all in and, you know, appreciating the fact that I'm being able to pitch in a postseason in the big leagues. It's a really cool experience.
how do you take in, you know, not quite knowing exactly when you're going to be going in for a particular game? And Otto mentioned that he really enjoys that and that he likes the way Alex manages the bullpen. What are your thoughts on that and how you never quite know when your number will be called?
Yeah, I mean, you just try and stay ready at every moment, and then when the phone rings, if it's your name, you really lock in and go, and if not, then you just continue to stay loose and get ready for when it is your name being called.
And what are the ways that you go about trying to, you know, maximize this experience? You know, whether it's, you know, keeping certain things, you know, memories. How do you go about kind of making sure that you do capitalize on this and that everything is taken in?
Yeah, I just take a second every day, just look around, just see, like, try and remember something special about every day and just, you know, take each moment for what it is. Like when we were dogpiling the other day, I just kind of stepped back and watched it happen and just kind of remember that stuff and, you know, just look around, look at the fans, look at the, you know, field and everything and just soak in those moments.
That was something I noticed where you seemed like the most calm, cool, collected person in that moment. Like everybody else was going nuts and you were just kind of looking around and like it seemed like the moment wasn't like overtaking you and you were trying to kind of take it in.
Yeah, I was in my head, I was pretty much praying, you know, just kind of like, you know, thank you, God, for, you know, allowing me to be a part of this and just allowing me to be able to still be playing baseball and, you know, just being very thankful in that moment. You know, like, one, I try not to get pumped up because I never want to show up anyone else. And I'm not saying, like, getting pumped up shows up anyone else. But, you know, I try to be respectful. You know, everyone out here has had more success than I ever can imagine. And so, you know, like, I just want to be respectful to every single player. And, you know, I'm just thankful. And so, you know, that's my emotion inside of me is just being super thankful.
Final thing is it difficult at times to stay present where, you know, as human beings, we're always kind of thinking about the past and the future? And do baseball players do a better job than, say, average people in your view of kind of staying present? And how do you go about trying to do that?
I mean, I can tell you before TJ, I didn't do a good job of it. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that every baseball player is good at it just because, like, before TJ, I was so worried about stuff that was out of my control. I was worried about, you know, like, oh, am I going to get called up to AAA? Like, oh, like, what is everyone else doing around me and that kind of stuff. But since TJ, you know, like, I've had a new perspective of just being appreciative and being thankful for every single moment.
Now to the Celtics and Bruins. It's been disappointing for Bruins and the Celtics. Bruins find themselves at 3-3 after getting blown out back-to-back nights by the Panthers and the Hurricanes, who both remain undefeated in the National Hockey League. And the Bruins now taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. For the Celtics, they've seemed a lot like the team of last year, where you see glimpses of greatness followed by significant setbacks. This team was 0-2 heading on the road. They won back-to-back games in Houston and Charlotte, looked really good in doing so, had a lot of positive momentum. They come home, they take on the Washington Wizards, and they lose. I talked to Marcus Smart about the makeup of this team and what he's seeing.
Hey, Marcus, just interested in your thoughts on the character of this group and the character you guys have shown over the last couple games, and what do you see developing there?
We got great guys, great characters here. You know, everybody is competitive and everybody wants to win. You know, everybody's willing to be coached. Everybody wants to learn. And you have a team like that, you know, it's easier for EMA to come in and coach us and for us to, you know, change up things on the fly and do things that we probably were never used to doing in the past. You know, like I said before, that just shows the growth as individuals and as a team. You know, and that's what makes us better. We got to continue to do that. We got to continue to trust one another, continue to play for one another. And even if it's nights like this where, you know, not everybody's shots was falling, we got a lot of great looks, everybody. But our defense is what won it for us late in that game, and we got to continue to improve on it.
That is the Celtics' Marcus Smart right there. Celtics back in action against the Washington Wizards today at 5 p.m. It's been a rough go for the UNH football team. They're back at it today as well. They take on Richmond. Pregame coverage on News Radio 610 and 96.7 Saturday at 12:30 with the game time at 1 p.m. The Wildcats welcome the Richmond Spiders to the campus for what should be a rain-drenched affair over at UNH. The Wildcats checking in the record of 3-4, and Richmond not much worse at 2-5. So good chance for the UNH Wildcats to get back in the win column. As I mentioned, Bruins tonight, they take on the Florida Panthers. Once again, the Panthers undefeated, chance for the Boston Bruins to get in the win column. And, of course, as we talked about earlier with Bill Belichick and Mac Jones, Patriots a big-time game against the Los Angeles Chargers. And that comes your way on Sunday tomorrow at 4:05. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. The Press Pass on WKXL is presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Check out either of their two locations, one at the Concord Hospital campus, the other 125 North Main Street. The Prescription Center will also deliver your prescriptions to you free of charge. That's the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Do some Patriots and also a little Red Sox in this segment as well. Patriots in L.A. to take on the Chargers, a point which I forgot in this upcoming interview with Nelson Aguilar, Patriots wide receiver. I had the Chargers back in their previous location, got called out by the Patriots wide. I'll hear that in just a moment. We'll talk Red Sox as well. Tanner Houck in just a moment. Houck, in my view, is going to be a big-time starter for the Red Sox for years to come, or maybe a closer. We'll see where the Red Sox slot him in moving forward. Tanner Houck in just a few moments. But first, the Patriots and the Chargers. This is a huge game for the Patriots. Patriots are 3-4, and this is a game that either gets them to 500 or drips them back down to 3-5. Patriots have 3 wins this year, 2 against the Jets, 1 against the Texans. Arguably the 2 worst teams in the National Football League, the Jets and the Texans. It's a big-time game against a good team, a beatable team, on the road. Patriots get this win, maybe it changes the trajectory of their season, which has been one that's been fairly forgetful or forgettable to this point in time. So here's my conversation with Nelson Aguilar. Is one of the key aspects of the Chargers team is their defense. Defense is really solid. Offense good, too. Herbert's a good quarterback. But I really like the way the defense has played so far this year. Let's get Nelson Aguilar's take on that. Hey, Nelson, I apologize if you've been asked about this already, but just what stands out to you about the San Diego defense and, in particular, the corners secondary?
Am I allowed to tell you that they're the L.A. Chargers?
What did I say? San Diego, didn't I? Yeah, it's an old habit. It's an old habit. You should say when I do the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I think you did that so people, like, know your age or your... All right, so honestly, they're talented. I think both corners are legitimate players. They have good skills, and then in the back end, we know who Derwin James is. We know kind of player he is, super talented player, very versatile. And then you look at Bosa, who's been doing this for many years now. So I think we have to be disciplined. We have to, have good understanding of the coverage or the technique or the shell that we're going against. And we got to give Mac opportunities to get the ball out.
And my other question is just on confidence and comfort where, a lot of the new guys this year have talked about it's taken a little bit longer maybe for them to get confident and comfortable. Have you experienced that as well? Or did you feel comfortable, confident fairly early in the season?
I mean, just working hard is the most important thing. I think you gain confidence by how hard you practice and how much you study. And I think my comfort level comes down to preparation. And I honestly feel like the more I go, the harder I go in practice, the more I prepare for game day and the more quote unquote comfort I have. You don't really be too comfortable because there's a little edge that you need, so that you're dialed in. But, the game slows down when you practice very hard. And I'm trying to continuously do that. So I give myself a good chance to play fast on Sunday.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, let's go to the defensive side of the football for the Patriots and talk to a guy who I really enjoy watching, Adrian Phillips.
Adrian, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Awesome. Wanted to touch on confidence and confidence for this team now at 3-4. Bill said, confidence wasn't an issue in the post game, but how much, particularly after last year, do you need to see results to fully believe in a group and what you guys are capable of?
Yeah, I would say this group of guys that we got are confident. And you go ask anybody in the locker room, they're fully confident on their ability to be able to go out there and get the job done. Unfortunately, you know, we had some bumps in the road, but you always like to see a game in that win column. So we got the win yesterday. You know, it was a big win, you know, big score differential. So when you get those, you know, you like that, and that helps build confidence, and especially when you've been so close to getting the wins in those big games and having a showing like we did Sunday, I think it definitely builds more confidence than we already had. I mean, it was through the roof already, but you know, when you have games like that, it just makes it even more.
I want to ask you about rookie quarterbacks as well, as obviously you're facing a younger quarterback, Justin Herbert, this week, who has some new games under his belt and has gotten more and more confidence himself. But so much was made of this rookie class of quarterbacks, and obviously a lot of them have struggled this year, and Mac continues to grow. From a defensive perspective, why do you think it is so challenging for a rookie quarterback to come into the league and have success? And do you do things differently for a younger quarterback than you would for somebody who has more experience?
For that, I'm going to answer the second part first. I wouldn't necessarily say you do anything different. You just kind of, it really just comes down to the film, because you got a guy like Herbert last year who was tearing up the league. You know, I know Mahomes sat for a year, but his first time really playing, he tore up the league too. So it doesn't really matter, like, if they're a rookie or not. You just kind of watch the tape and see what they can handle and what they can't. So it changes from week to week. And I would say for most quarterbacks coming into the league, you know, it's just a different game. You know, you got way more defenses. You know, colleges, they can get crazy with their defenses sometimes, but you're going against, like, coordinators who dial stuff up totally different than the way you do in college. So I would say that would probably be the most challenging for those guys. But, you know, the disguise part of it really plays a part into that.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
So building on the theme from earlier in the show, the Red Sox were mostly a veteran team, you know, this year, guys with a lot of postseason experience, but two key pitchers did not have any postseason experience or any prior experience at all, really, as big leaguers, as old Tanner Houck did make some starts at the end of last season. And this is a huge part of their growth, pitching in big games. So I talked with Tanner Houck about that. Tanner, how important do you think is postseason pitching for young players' development? And do you think that there has been, you know, value to these types of outings for you?
I think, honestly, just being out there, being in the games, and whether it's a regular season game, whether it's a postseason game, is the most valuable thing. The only way, I believe, other than talking with individuals that have been in the situations before, is to be in those moments and be in those high-pressure situations and moments that you've never been in before. So the only way to grow and to really develop as an individual, I would say, is to really just go out there and just, you know, take your licks whenever you get them and have success whenever you have it. And I mean, that's pretty much the only way I see to grow.
That's a really good statement, in taking your licks and taking opportunities to grow, because being a relief pitcher is a completely different beast from a mental perspective, where, you know, Mariano Rivera has always described the being closers getting the heaviest outs of the game, and there's not a lot of reward for a relief pitcher when you do your job, because there's an expectation. But if you give up a home run, then it is the entirety of everyone's focus. So we'll take the Altuve situation as an example, where, you know, you've obviously been rolling through the postseason, you pitched well, but you give up a home run, and that ends up defining your outing for a couple of days. Where if that happens in the context of a starting pitcher, it's one home run in probably a 5 solid innings.
Yeah, I mean, as a relief pitcher, there's the expectation to go in there and throw zeros. And as, you know, I'm continuing to be in this role, that's what I expect. So, wasn't happy about it by any means, giving up that home run. But, you know, the great thing about this game is we got back the next day, we came out, and we won. And And now we had a day off. We regen, refill the batteries a little bit, and we come out here in our home stadium and give the crowd what they want and just go out there and play Red Sox baseball.
Throwing strikes to start things off, is that something you have to make a mechanical adjustment on, or is it kind of getting amped in the moment? How would you describe that? Because it didn't seem like that happened a lot when you were a starter, but it has happened a couple times as a reliever.
Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe it's a little adrenaline overthrowing in the situation, trying to reach back for more than what I really need, and just go out there and really, I just got to trust my stuff and continuing to pound the zone, and that's what we talk about in the bullpen with Bushy pregame, postgame, whatever it is. We're always talking about being in the zone, on the attack, and going right after hitters.
What's the dynamic like in the bullpen with having you and Nate and Chris down there with those guys who have been there throughout the course of the year? How fun is it to watch a game with those guys, and what's it like?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Those are guys that, like I talked about earlier, unless you're being around those individuals that have experienced all that this game has to offer at this level, pitching in the postseason, I mean, they're truly the most valuable thing to me as a young pitcher who wants to be in their shoes one day and continuing to pitch in October like this year. But to have them down there and to be with them in the dugout whenever I've had that chance, like, it's truly the most valuable thing. They are unbelievable to have around, having guys like you said, Evo, Sale, Ottavino's another one, Garrett Richards another one. Like, those are four guys that have 10 years or approaching 10 years just in this league alone, not including, you know, whether drafted out of high school, college, minor league ball. Like, those are just unbelievably talented individuals that I look up to. So I am blessed to be around them.
That's Tanner Houck. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.